Good. Okay. So hopefully what's on the PowerPoint will make sense to some of us in English and some of us in Cantonese. I need to thank Yen Yen for doing the Cantonese translation. So that will help, hopefully, all of us to connect with the main things that I want to talk about in the next 20 minutes or so. It looks a bit full, doesn't it? A bit overwhelming. But I didn't want to set it up so it went through the different points. It's easier just to have it all there and you can muse it as I talk rather than me being distracted by it. I mentioned last week that we were, as I played the Prince of Egypt and we had the sand, if you remember, that we had the privilege of having tickets to go and see it, which we did last night. Amazing. Such a wonderful show down in Tottenham Court Road. So if you are wondering whether you'd like to go and watch a musical in London as things open up, I can only recommend that you consider going to see The Prince of Egypt. That's stirring music, wonderful orchestrations, brilliant cast, which tell the story of Moses, which was really, really good. So we are starting a new series this morning. I'm going to ask Raymond every so often just to come and do a little summary of what I've said in Cantonese, which will help us as well to just pause and reflect on what's just been said while Raymond just does a summary for those in Cantonese. So thank you, Raymond, for offering to do that, particularly when he has no idea what I'm going to say. So why are we doing these one another's? Well, I think it just, for me, is this like a golden thread, that's how I think of it, through the New Testament, these one another statements. There's over 50 of them through the New Testament. And they have something to say to us, which I think is quite profound, and I hope will come through as we look at these different statements over the next few weeks. It shows the essence, I think, of how the early church related to each other through these one another's. It sets a pattern for the way that the church operated and shared life together, because it is representing what you have just done by turning to each other and relating one to two or three in that one another setting. They're particularly relevant, I think, as we think about where our culture is at the moment, looking for a sense of identity, a lost sense of purpose for many people, and we often discover that through our relationships with others. We discover who we are as people speak into our lives what they see in us. It brings that sense of identity. That's happened to us since we were really small as children. We are told things about ourselves. It's always fascinating when I get introduced by somebody, if I'm speaking, and I think, oh, that's another facet of myself that obviously they see that I might not be aware of. And it shapes who I think I am. And the one another's do that for each of us. Shall I pause there, Raymond? Yes. And you come and summarise?
First of all, one another, 就是彼此的经文都会尝试去透过经文去看究竟我们怎样去彼此重熟彼此去我们是怎样在关系里面彼此建立他说这个是怎样这么重要呢就是这透过这个关系不单止是我们这个群体其实有一个重要就是神是透过一个的关系让我们能够认识我们自己。有些地方有時可能我們見到我們自己，我們應該是 A、B、C、D、E，原來不是，原來在關係裏面，原來神要透過一個關係，透過一個群體，讓你看到你自己其實是怎樣的。 亦都係透過依一個嘅關係咧，讓我哋睇到咧，我哋要羣體係一個點樣羣體，實話咧依個係一個點樣羣體，同埋我哋喺呢度嘅存在係咩嘅目的 purpose。
Thank you. Wonderful. And it's such a privilege. I just want to pause and say this: to have you amongst us, your Hong Kong families. We love you. We welcome all that you are bringing to us and the richness that you bring to our community. So thank you. And thank you, Raymond, particularly for interpreting this morning. So these one another statements, the fact that the early church built its life around shared life and relationships is not just an accident. Some people think, oh, it's just a clever tool, perhaps, that Jesus used to share leadership, to push leadership out. Well, it might be. Is it becoming a trendy idea at the moment, maybe, because, you know, we're trying to get people to engage more in the workplace, to have teams, to, you know, be part of the bigger mission and vision of our companies or global enterprises or whatever it is? Well, maybe. But I think at its very heart, these one another statements say something about the God that we believe in. By this, Jesus says, shall all men that you are know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And in the very essence of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is that sense of the one another's. That, for me, is where it starts. Why do I think that? Well, I think because there's this flow between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that is relational. Just the fact that they have personal names denotes that they are relational beings, sharing life together, personas, as some theologians call them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They share life together. They honour and prefer one another. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but all the one another's perhaps are worked out and find their source of life in the Trinitarian God that we believe in, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's their starting place. Not because it was a great model for the early church, not that it allowed the early church to develop this wonderful community, not that it was Jesus developing new leaders by giving them space to, you know, be who they were. All those are good things, but actually at its very, very centre, I think it's about the early church demonstrating and showing very tangibly what the God was like, who the God was like, that they believed in. And I think we see a couple of glimpses of that in the Gospels. So one of the glimpses we see into the relationship of the Godhead is at Jesus' baptism, isn't it? Where the voice comes from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Where the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. You see this interaction of relationships going on as Jesus is baptized. A little glimpse, if you like, through the curtain, beyond our earthly realm, into the heavenly connections with Jesus. Shall I pause there? Because there's quite a lot, isn't there, that we've just sort of highlighted
right now. 都相信应该不是一个偶然发生，相信上帝是带领着的，不是一个意外发生，亦都不是一个圣父圣子圣灵三个走来，不如我们将这班人走在一起搞一些事情，做一些事，以至去完成他一些任务，或者令到一个，给我们一个更加大的教会，都不是 for 这个 purpose 亦都唔係咧，即係佢哋啊走出嚟覺得啊，哇！我入班嘅信徒啦，點樣去做一個好啊？依家班人點樣去更加好嘅咧？點樣可以彼此好啲咧？咁會唔會係用温靈啦？但係依個咧model係最好嘅咧，即係都唔係依一個嘅即係佢哋唔係構思三位一齊即刻一齊諗話依一個俾我哋用呢個 model 啦，依個 model 咧就會對即係教會就係最好嘅。依三樣都唔係嘅，其實咧。 其實咧，呢一樣嘢咧係啱啱正正咧就係即係神嗰一個嘅特質，佢嘅本性就係咁啦，佢嘅 God's virtue 係virtue 又係啦。咁佢就係聖父、聖子、聖靈，佢哋本身就係咁樣，就係 one another 咁一個咁嘅關係。喺邊一度特別去提喺聖經裏邊咧？Truffles 就話有一個嘅經文我哋特別可以睇到就係當聖父當耶穌受洗嘅時候啦，你記得啦，即係天父就聖靈就嚟到啦，跟住咧即係天父就話啦，啊依一個嘅係我有愛子，我所喜悅嘅。其實裏邊咧冇有咩特別嘅表達，淨係咧純粹喺個經文裏邊咧，你見到一種嘅關係就係聖父、聖子、聖靈，佢哋又係佢哋又係個別啦，但係咧佢哋又係一個嘅 communion。
Good. So that little glimpse at Jesus' baptism, the other glimpse I think we get, which is really powerful, very profound, is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where this conversation goes on with Jesus and the Father over this cup that he's been given. Now this, the next bit I'm going to share might sound a little bit, don't know about that. So just sort of, you know, let your shoulders drop. Just receive what God might want to highlight, perhaps through what I say, because what we tend to think about this conversation is that it's a foregone conclusion. Jesus has come to die. So therefore, I think as we read this passage where Jesus says, if it's possible for this cup of death to be taken away from me, then please, might that be possible? But if not, your will be done. And I think in our heads, if we're honest, we think, well, the alternative wasn't a conclusion because Jesus had to die and take away our sins. So, you know, that's going to happen. And we sort of think that Jesus didn't have say-so in this conversation, probably if we're honest with ourselves. But I want to say, I think Jesus did have say-so. And I think it probably because the way that we think about that conversation happening and the way that we think about our theology around Jesus dying is locked into a particular way of thinking. And I just want to open that space up a little bit for us this morning and say, if this is a real conversation, which I believe it is, and there was another possibility that Jesus could have said, because he had say-so, because in these one another relationships we do have say-so, and we believe that they represent our glimpse into the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then maybe this cup was Jesus continuing to live in the way that he'd learned how to live in the Trinity, preferring others, living in a way that offered his life to others. And he chose to do that, not because the Father needed him or wanted him to die, but because it was the way that he'd always lived in and amongst the Trinitarian community relationship. Do you see how that's slightly different? So he chooses to come and live his life in a way that he's discovered how to live it in the community of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he continues to live out of those beliefs and values as he lives amongst us. And as he does that, he pushes against the systems of this world. He includes people that he shouldn't include. He one another's with people that our world structures tell him he should not one another with. And as a result of that, people react against him. And he gets to this point where he's destined to die. So perhaps what this conversation is about is him saying, I'm going to continue to choose to live out of those beliefs and values, even though I know it leads to death. As part of his relational dynamic and those beliefs and values of being part of this Trinitarian community. I don't know whether I've explained that very well, but it's a different way of thinking about what happens in the garden, rather than just thinking, well, Jesus couldn't have opted out here. He didn't really have a say-so because He had to die. And there's lots of ways that we can think about that. So just opening that up a little bit, I think is helpful for us and gives us a glimpse into this space that is the one another's. And if you like, what Jesus is doing as he continues to live out these values of honouring others, of putting others first, of, as Lawrence says to us, this idea of sacrificial love, the love that continues after the feelings have run out, then that leads him to a place of death. Physical death, but also death of himself, of his own ego, of his own desires and wants. And that's what we'll bump into as we look at the one another's. Many of them are really, really challenging. I'll pop them on the screen in a minute and we can have a look at a few. And I think we'll discover that actually what the early church did, and if we take these one another seriously, what we might choose to do is really quite radical. It does cost us to step into this space, as it cost Jesus, as it costs the Trinity. You know, just the fact that Jesus came and dwelt amongst us and left heaven, there was a sense of loss there, wasn't there, as he came. He emptied himself. He became less than he was, the writer to the Philippians says. So it's costly for him to come and be in this space with us. And it's that sort of wrestling that we'll do as we look at the one another's. Let me just pause there again, Raymond. Just for you to...
其實我哋都唔知道，其實嗰個 sacrifice 係咩嘅，我 我哋即係覺得佢係限制咗成人啦，但係我哋點樣成即係耶穌係一個神，佢點樣做咗人，其實對我嚟講已經係一個好難理解嘅事情。但係就由嗰陣時開始，你就見到耶穌佢係為咗就喺呢個關係裏面，純粹一個關係，就令到佢咧就係、放低自己，擺低自己，成為人，去到一路喺呢個世界活咗呢一種嘅即係重屬嘅即係重屬呢個群體嘅關係咧，佢去到一個地步咧，就去到甚至咧要將佢自己的性命咧要擺上。
Good. So, if you are following my thread, the thought that I want to plant with us is these one lovers come out of the very heart of the God that we believe in, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sharing life together, sharing community together, preferring one another, honoring one another, and living out of those values. Jesus comes and brings those values and beliefs as he lives amongst us and demonstrates that and pushes against the systems that are not wanting to conform to God's values. And as a result, dies, and in dying, I think, revalues who we are. Which is a wonderful way for us to think about our identity. So in him accepting, living out of those values, being prepared to die to himself, being prepared to go to the cross, trusting in the relationships that he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit to resurrect him, to bring him back to life. He, if you like, treads a pathway that he asks us to follow in, to trust God, to trust those around us in our Christian community in the way that he trusted the Father and the Holy Spirit as he one anothered with them. So that together we can live out those same beliefs and values that they live out together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in doing so, all men will see that you are my disciples. As you demonstrate physically together, as you share life together, as we share life together, what real love is about, this costly sense of love, preferring rather than pushing for our own way, which is so often the case. And in doing so, we then find our value as an individual, as part of a larger community, rather than what our culture so often says to us, which is about what we can do, what we can achieve. That's not really where our value lies. Our value lies in the relationships that we have with others, how they see us, how we allow them to shape us, how we shape them. That's where we pick up our sense of value and well-being. And that's how it works, I would suggest, in these Trinitarian relationships, which is why they're called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, as we think about these one another's, as we look at the practical outworkings of them, because they are very, very practical, very hands-on, I just want us to reflect back occasionally and think, okay, what does this mean then? How does this give us an opportunity to demonstrate the God that we believe in as we practice these things. So they don't just come to us as a set of rules that we need to follow. The New Testament says this, so I've just got to grit my teeth and do it. I must forgive. But actually to think as we do that, we're demonstrating the very heart of God. We're somehow replicating and living out or trying to the very God that we believe in, which is the driver behind why we're going to look at them together over the next few weeks. There's 50 or so of them. So let's just go down the slide if we can. Here's some of them. I'll just stand back so that we can see them. Love one another, prefer one another, accept one another, greet one another, encourage one another, comfort one another, carry one another's burdens, admonish one another, pray for one another, wait for one another, honour one another, offer hospitality to one another, live in peace with one another, care for one another, confess your sins to one another. I don't think anybody's rushed to pick that one up yet and talk about it. So if that really strikes a chord with you and you think you'd like to talk about that, that would be great. Be devoted to one another, serve one another, be kind to one another, spur one another on. That's just a selection. And what we've done is just sent those out to those that like to speak on a Sunday and said, would you like to choose one? And if you are part of that team that have spoken historically, you've chosen one, thank you. If you are and you haven't, then do that. And indeed, if you're sitting here thinking, oh, I'd really like to have a crack at that, but I've never really spoken on a Sunday morning before, then we'd love to have you pick up that challenge and come and speak to us about one of those one another statements. We'll be swapping them in between the other things that we do Sunday by Sunday, in between the story Sundays where children are in with us, and in between things like Justin coming and doing another music and movement in worship session with us. So they'll flow in and out of the other things that we do Sunday by Sunday. But my hope is that it will reconnect us, it will remind us of the fact that we share life together, that we're here to support one another, particularly through our small groups, but through our engagement on Sundays, the one-to-one get-togethers that we have during the week over coffee and all those sorts of good meetups. And I was reminded, and I'll just close with this, of some words written by Graham Kendick. What, say that again? Oh, yes, we need to pause in a second. Yeah, well reminded. Let's do that. We'll do that. We'll let Raymond catch up. Thank you, Raymond. Good. We need to close. And I just want to close with these verses from John 14, which just pulls together some of the things I think we've been thinking about this morning. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me, and I am in you. And you get that lovely flow, don't you? I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We are caught up in that relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's because the Holy Spirit indwells us and empowers us that we can then live out these one another's. We can't do them on our own. It's a list of impossible things for us to achieve, except that Jesus empowers us to do them by drawing us into these Trinitarian relationships by having the Holy Spirit living in us. So don't despair. Let's enjoy looking at and be challenged by them over the next few weeks, and allow the Holy Spirit to stir afresh in our hearts as we do that, as we step week by week into each of these one another's.